Welcome to Lose the Gut Podcast. It's the only podcast you'll need to have the information to lose the gut and get abs the first time in your life. I can help you do this by teaching you through mindset, nutrition, and training, because these are three core fundamentals that you'll need. So let's go dive into today's episode.
All right. So we have a lot of topics actually today. It's a lot of different ones. I should like put these because they're not really absent. I get a lot of them are seeing kind of repeats over there, especially traveling wise. There is one about traveling wise, kind of let's hear again. Apparently everybody's traveling, trying to get away from the cold. All right, so we're going to start off with, why do we have workout versus non-workout day meal plans and set consistent calorie spread each day? So the reason why we kind of have this is because we do expend more energy on the workout days versus our non-workout days, and especially if it is trying to be in the deficit, aka losing fat, want to make sure that we're utilizing this to the best ability. Because if we do have a spread that's just the same kind of every day, we can kind of put that in the middle of those two calories. But it's going to be better for this one because on those workout days, we're going to be able to recover better with those extra calories utilized too as well. And let's just say on it, we're spreading it from consistent calories throughout the week itself versus just the two workout days. Then one day might be a little surplus. Then one day might be in a little bit of deficit over there. So see a little bit of difference. But this one itself could be more consistent, just being like straight deficit. Has to be overall kind of better in terms of fat loss kind of perspective, and also metabolism too as well. When you do kind of have those changing calories, you could definitely do better for your metabolism, having like a higher day versus the lower days versus just having the same kind of spread over there. But the biggest part in that kind of side of things is one is recovery rates and also stability to eat and that for a deficit with having the lower calories and those higher calories workouts versus the non-workout days over there. So this is a very standardized, so let's see it pretty much kind of everywhere. With every single coach you can go to, or just in general, it's a very standardized approach. Workout days versus all days. Sometimes I'll even throw it in with like a higher day to as well, especially trying to grow a specific body part. Like, let's say it was your chest muscles that you really want to develop more, like me in particular, or quad coaches. They may have like a third day itself where it's a higher day, it's a workout day where you'd like 500 calories more than a normal workout day to really utilize extra calories to push more in the gym and to recover better for my chest, right? So there's a lot of days we do over there. And we can call the call reading days sometimes on your cuts. So let's say if you're cutting down too small, things use a lot of grains, or let's say maybe your weight loss is very, very quick from this kind of aspect, then we get a reading day. So you gotta boost the top over there. This can ask you like to make sure we're not dropping a little tassel too fast, but also we are able to just have a metabolism higher state because of that metabolic adaptation. So just have, let's say, a lot more calories in which you drop it, and then we have that 338 in over there. They can really have weights in them, have a baseline, so your body does adapt to that as quickly over there. But also another standpoint for refeed days here, so one. So it's a day where you have higher calories, generally about 500 and solid maintenance. So you can get to follow better. It's like a mental kind of break over there. It's like, oh, you know, that day have a little more calories and just a more stable kind of approach. But also on that day too as well, it is the day where you generally can have, say, maybe a treat meal or something that's where it's another approach we're more to hear both kind of a standpoint. So ultimately, at the end of the day, there's a lot of different methods you can do for this side of things to really maximize our result, maximize our adherence to the plan, and ultimately make sure we can stick with it the core, right? Or also, or grow a little bit muscle, simple muscle, even more of this kind of aspect. And I'm finding that very unique. Sometimes you can have like two refeed days, and over there, it's even bumping and causing even more in the kind of regards. And yeah, so there's a lot of different kind of techniques just based on kind of where we are, how your body's reacting, and so forth. With refeed days, they generally don't always kind of add in until you're more leader. So let's say sub 50% of body fat over there. Can't even think about this otherwise. That kind of standpoint, there's not really much of a kind of point. Whether we dip maybe it's working here, it's kind of standpoint in the long run. So yeah, that might be a little benefit, but an actual more perspective, that want perspective, yeah, that's or something 50% body fat to kind of look at. All right, so how to maintain fitness / dieting while traveling. So the workout days, if you're doing like, let's say, 5 day week there, you might need to shut down to like 4 or even 3 scrimmage minimal. I go for it when traveling wise. Now, depending on your situation, for if you have weights or if you have access to the gym, that's a little different too as well. If you don't have access to the gym whatsoever, you cannot make that, I too recommend going to a gym or trying to buy one locally to you. I always link that efforts, or going to your apartment gym. I'll make those programs for you. At least doing it 3 days a week on this kind of aspect, and then make those programs where that's body weight. You really don't have it near you itself. I make these three body weight circuit trainings where you can do the outside room, just get some movement in, activate those kind of muscles. And as far as you have time in the gym, kind of make those workouts for you too as well. In regards, if you are going to resort or something like that, and like send me some photos, you name of it, we'll do it. Like Wiley, the other day, he's going to Mexico for 2027th, send me his resort name. I just Googled that, saw equipment for that too. I just stayed in that work poorly for the equipment he had access to. At his resort gym, actually, quite a bit. So, you want to make sure at least the working out's over there. Because generally, when we are traveling to as well, we are going to be a little bit more off diet in terms of eating foods and not really on the diet plan. But there is another factor on this part, choosing the foods, that can help you make sure we're able to, say, maintain that. So, that is just another question later on. So, going to kind of cycle back around that one. But when you're traveling to as well, generally, you are moving a lot more in terms of walking-wise. Like, I remember from the last trip to Vegas, I was averaging 28,000 steps per day. One of the days, I was doing, did like 42,000 steps, but that being a little cycle. But generally, we are moving a little bit more than normal. So we are burning a little bit more calories just period in general, which can help you maintain your fitness. Why is it not kind of gaining that weight as much? So that is another problem when traveling over there, which is that active movement, if you're actively exploring over there. Now, if you're just kind of throwing around everywhere, that might be a little bit different. But I generally recommend you try to, you know, walk around and explore things as you actually, you know, take in more, you know, slow things down, kind of walk around, take it all in versus if you drive past something, literally take it all in itself, kind of going by in the moment. Now, in terms of food-wise over there, I'm going to get to that later on because that is another question that goes more that. And I'm going to kind of like background to that. All right. So am I taking an army of supplements? Is there such thing as too many? So when it comes down to supplements, there are is few that are core and essential, right? This last person asked which ones were considered core. I would consider the core ones your protein powder to make sure we're hitting your protein goal, because that's absolute number one. When I was trying bulk balance, we're just trying to cut down to make sure we're getting balance, so we don't lose our muscle. Or possibly, you know, gain some muscle or cut, especially that we're not sure we're getting that. But sometimes too as well, we do cut down. We don't have enough protein, lose muscle, and just become more skinny and fat. Kind of look the same. Weight scale is going to go down though, and can lead you more frustrated, right? So number one, protein powder, because you actually have to be very conscious if you want to hit that fine ground protein per pound body weight. You can't just do that with subconscious over there. It has to be intentional over there. Now, protein powder is the number one. Creatine, I'd say, is another kind of essential one on that kind of side. It's really maximize results over there. I'd say number third one would be like multivitamin, just because when you do not have all your pretty much vitamins and minerals over there, the body's not going to function as well. Basically, metabolically, will be energy level wise, or some things are not going to, you know, go as well, right? I mean, like I mentioned, you're not going to have as much energy. You're not going to sleep as well. You're not going to, let's say, your hormones could be a little more messed up too as well. Like all those minerals, vitamins, they do play a role in all that. Now, when it comes to dieting too as well, yes, you can get it all or to most of them or all of them through a good diet. But most people don't eat enough to as well to necessarily cut or eat proper amounts of foods or all the foods too as well. And instead of quantities, for example, like dark chocolate has quite a bit of magnesium, but the amount of dark chocolate you need to eat to get into the amount of magnesium for daily intake with a lot of calories, right? To see how long all controversy over there is. So you might need a lot more calories to meet those actual daily requirements, but you don't have that in calorie budget. But also too as well, it's like what you're saying, it's swap out of foods. You got to eat, I think you're missing a lot more calories. And it's not like taking down, let's say, out of 40% of the calorie budget when you eat, and that might not be the most your chip, that's kind of foolish, right? So that's why multivitamin is not like insurance policy too as well. Gonna hit that. Now, with that being said, there is a lot of supplements you can take to maximize results over there. I personally take a lot because I'm trying to reach that like other 1% on that side of things. Now, I remember I had one coach do as well. He put on a lot of supplements, and like the ones off the shelf, a whole bunch of names, like K2, Oblique Flow, so many different ones, digestive enzymes, probiotics with K12, K2. I can't remember all of them, but I wrote down a whole list, and I literally jotted all of them down itself. And I found out there was like 60 different supplements. I was like, this is way too much, right? And I was like, can you, like, which ones are the core ones? And then I eliminated them all, and it came down to like 33 different ones. And then I counted my pills I need to take every single day, and it was like 50 a day. I was like, yeah, no, this is way too many. And I was like, what the hell is this? So there is a lot of supplements you can take to maximize the results, but I'm going to say those core three are the protein powder, the multivitamin, and also the creatine over there for results and that kind of stuff. I think so. You might see some recommendations list on your bottle. You might have six, you might have like seven over there, and that was definitely not close to what that one kind of coach coming out with 50 different ones. Those found something else, and I get that in perspective, and I was hearing about it as well as the match in your health over there, not any results. And yeah, was seeing some more. So I'm like, no, all right. And I did back all that stuff for like a month, and I was like, this is just too much. All right, so that means I didn't really feel any different between this fall, to be honest. So, all right, with that being said, is there really too many supplements? I would say not really, if you're really trying to maximize every little percentage over there at the upside to your means, and you just really want to. But I personally don't really need that, like that many to that extent, right? I personally probably use right now 12 different supplements over there. And yeah, so it's a lot less than that, kind of 50 different ones. All right, so do you have a macro split you like to use for the ball base cutting, maintaining bulk? I don't really have a macro split, like if you're talking about exact amount of protein, like 50% protein, 40% carbs, 10% fat, something like that. It's all considered depending on your body and your steps, right? So we're cutting, actual cutting or bulking, pretty much, well, actually, no, cutting, especially dimensioning, I like to have at least pretty much 1 gram of product body weight and protein. But now, if someone is also like greater than like 25% body fat, might have a little bit less, especially given their diet. So, again, I said, you calls guys kind of asked about which yesterday, day before, I have a better idea, you know, where you have to go protein and how much of a change that is. So, if you're like greater than 25% body fat, you don't need as much protein to really get those maximum results. So I might put a little bit less than that just to make sure we're able to hit that protein number, because it's going to be a struggle at first going from like, you know, maybe getting 80 grams of protein per day to like 180, right? That's really a big difference over there. So like, I might kind of adjust that to a little bit less number, and it's going to be at least a minimum 20 grams of lean body mass. So if you have 25% body fat, you're 200 pounds. That would be, what is that? And do my math right now. That'd be 50 pounds. Yeah, 50 pounds of fat. So 200, that'd be 150 grams of protein at least, right? I'll probably go a little bit more on them because I just want to maximize that. But that's the bare minimum over there on protein and put them on. It really depends on your body composition, what your diet was before, and what your target goals are. Now it goes to maintenance. Yes, ideally, you went down. Now it comes to bulking. Actually, cutting wise too, as well, sometimes I might go above that 1 gram, maybe like 1 point, even up to 1.5 grams, depending on your hunger levels too, as well. Now, there isn't really a cap on the protein itself, what I could put you on. Like me personally, right now, probably like 1.33. That's a lot of energy I had over there. That protein, because I am somebody who has very, very big appetite. I'm just going to aspect to get really hungry if I don't have that protein. This protein is the most satiating one, which one of them makes you feel most full, and having that higher protein, A, is not going to do me bad, but B, it's going to make me feel more satiated, so I'm not hungry all the time itself. Just trying to, I'm more meditating right now, and also enjoy that higher kind of protein over there. And yeah, so for me, kind of all personal matters helps. How it comes to maintaining, yeah, instead of 1 gram pound of body weight. For bulking, you can actually get away with a little bit less in this aspect, so at least like 0.8 grams. But I generally like to intend towards more than 1 gram of body with scale, especially if somebody is on higher calories. You know, it's like 4,000 calories, getting 1 gram of body weight. It actually is pretty hard to not go through that. You guys go a little bit higher, it's all, and there's a little response to that aspect either, right? So it really depends on a lot of kind of factors over there. But in terms of your fat percentages, I always keep that between like the 20 and a 30 over there. 20 is on the lower end, and that kind of play around with that. A lot kind of put it middle, 20 kind of 5%. But now when you dive to each wall, it looks like 20 is kind of pretty low, and ends up being like now 30 micrograms of fat or something like that, because you're pretty low with that cut. I might jack that a little bit because of like water feeds to have a decent amount of fat and like hit that number too quickly. And it'd be especially if you're eating out, so you know, try why you know, snooze well, it'd be almost impossible for you to try to maintain that, let's say, 39 grams of fat over there. Because you do it, especially a lot of places jack up that bad number, and a lot more fat over there. So it's all very kind of to your kind of lifestyle too as well. Now, 30% is a little bit kind of higher end, and that might be for people with high body fat percentage, because I want them to have less carbs, because those carbs are going to spike up their insulin levels a little bit more, and carbs are something that are not the enemy, but they get benefit from more of that fat kind of diet, just more due to kind of standpoint. All right, so but bulky wise, yes, you're going to have generally a lot more carbs kind of period wise, unless you have a really poor appetite and the fact that you can't really eat much. Somebody jack up the fat, and this fat's a lot you can get down to the calorie standpoint. There's a lot of like personal aspects, which I mentioned earlier. All right, so let's go back to that link question. Comes down to best options eating out for vacations with family, quick meals. This kind of cycle back down to the other one. It says diet while traveling. This is goes hand in hand, so I want to go address this one. So, you know, when you don't have time to be out trap, what are like the best choices at fast food or let's say some other places for restaurant wise? So there's a lot of great options out there, and I can name like a handful, like I would say my go-to ones. Depends on where I am actually. So in America, Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, absolutely my go-to. I have my go-to orders over there. Those kind of aspects, like the grilled chicken burger, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A, or when I go to like Chipotle, the double chicken in a bowl with a little bit of rice, and like no beans with lettuce, and then the thing with salsa over there. So no cheese, no guac. The double chicken. But when it comes down to, let's say, in general wise, because I want to make it more of a general concept instead of just having those specific ones you all go to, is you want to look for something that has protein in the menu. So that's the first choice. So let's just say, going back to the example of Chick-fil-A, right? So, you know, grilled chicken burger, like an 8-ounce steak itself. So you want to look for like leaner protein. So leaner protein would be a chicken breast, a steak, whether it's a sirloin top, or you want to go for a beef burger is okay. Sometimes usually it looks a little bit better. Burger, sole, shrimp, bison, scallops. So those are all great kind of choices. Salmon, depending on the location, usually somewhere fatter itself. But yeah, so chicken, steak, sole, shrimp, bison, scallop, all great kind of choices over there. So with that being said, those are things I look for when it comes down to like a menu side of things. Then on like the side order itself, I'll get like potatoes with mashed or baked. Ask for plain. Don't ask for plain itself. You got a lot of oil, butter, and or I'll ask for like a salad with plain. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of dressing or oils on top of that one. A lot of cheese too as well. Like I remember I went to Gordon Ramsay Burger like a month ago and asked for like the side salad plain. They puts a lot of cheese on there actually. And then I looked at it and I was like, another place. So like, oh, shit, my bad. And then they brought it back without all the cheese with the other shop. So yeah. And also rice. We also asked rice for plain too as well. And a lot of places jack up the rice from boys, butters. So just the sides, master plain, whether it's potatoes, rice, salad, over there. Now when it comes to vegetables, too as well, you ask for plain. And I personally stay away from the appetizers and desserts over there. When we're traveling, I always bring a bag of protein powder, use 3 scoops daily. Because when you ever do go out to eat, they always use a lot less protein because protein is the most expensive thing for the restaurants, also the fast food place. So protein portion size is the smallest, which is going to be very, very hard for you. That's your protein is all, right? So I use 3 scoops daily, like 1.5 scoops in the morning and 1.5 scoops at night over there. So lean protein source and sides, basically something and plain with a potato, vegetable, rice there, and no appetizer, no desserts, can stay with those side of things. And a little protein source, so it's kind of also there. Now for that lean protein source, it could be let's say, you know, that chicken breast with the burger is a little black, or it could be a shrimp with, I don't know, there's no really shrimp burgers there. But yeah, something kind of house, you know, they got too many other things at the top of my head for kind of the order side of things. Now, I personally look at eating out as a social thing, not as a, I'm really looking forward to this cheat meal throughout the week, because I used to be that way. And it was very bad for my eating habits, bad in terms of relationship with food, right? Because I wasn't focused on enjoying that social aspect of, hey, let's enjoy time with my friends and family. But it was rather like, hey, Friday, I get my cheat meal then. I can't wait to eat this place. Like, you want to come with me? I just really want to eat that food, right? And just like think about the whole week for that cheat meal. I used to have that mindset before, and it was very bad. So I just really look at it as I get to, you know, enjoy that social setting with my friend, even like the other day on Sunday. I'm leaving this town a little bit away for 2 weeks. Last night I was in pursuit, didn't have my cheat meal that week. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to have one roll. And that was it, right? So I just had the one roll over there versus maybe beforehand. If you asked a couple of years ago, I'd be like, oh, you know, going to all you can eat place, not eating the whole day, it's all fasting, and that's having all this you should really eat, having dessert on top of that, having, you know, stopping myself. So that was really that mentality over there. But this one was generally a lot better than that, right? Just looking, hanging with my buddies, to get talk with them over there, enjoying some food and eating a lot slower too as well, because I'm enjoying this conversation and their company, enjoy that social aspect, right? So that's very important, I'd say, over there. All right, so when it comes to substitute foods in Vietnam, it says, I understand substitute proteins out, so what about vegetables? So I would say the vegetables kind of really stick with. There's only a handful that are not going to be, not, how do you describe this? So broccoli, corn, cauliflower, and a lot of other vegetables are very hard for your gut to digest and cause a lot of bloating or digestion problems. So I avoid these ones. So the ones on this core list I stick with for the geezer digestion ones that don't cause those problems itself are spinach, pumpkin, squash, carrots, cucumbers, and green beans. So you could basically substitute any of those more vegetables are you upon with these ones. Now, when it comes to substituting for other ones, I'd strongly stress probably otherwise. But you could try them out. Do you have any digestive problems, which I personally do have with broccoli, and a lot of people do too as well. It's a lot of research on that one. That's why I put the best vegetables on your meal plan specifically and those types, because of that digestion kind of issue. I want to prime that involves over there. So again, spinach, pumpkin, squash, carrots, cucumbers, and green beans. If you do try a substitute with something else, well, you probably experience a little bit of digestive issues probably, or it might be a lot harder to calories, which is not, you know, best. So let's just say, for a really good example, let's see, for a vegetable, I don't know, high calories. But if, I know for a fruit, for example, a lot of people are like, oh, I love mango, so let's substitute, kind of substitute this for mango. Absolutely not. That's significantly higher in sugars and not really the vitamins they're looking for, but also it's, yeah, significantly higher in calories too as well. So that's four lists I would do. Thoughts on gummy versus capsule in terms of absorption? This question over here is something you never got asked before, that I actually really like this one. So gummies are taste great. I used to use them as a kid all the time, especially my dad buy me the gummies from Costco. Got the brand of it, so it was Costco multivitamin gummies. And I personally was addicted to them. I remember my brothers, he ran whenever he came over. He would take like 20 of them and eat them all at once because he took like the taste of the law, which is pretty funny. And probably not very great too, as well as having that many multivitamin gummies. But gummies could taste great. They are slower in absorption rates and have added ingredients like the sugar, other flavorings, which can cause a little bit more inflammation in your guts. And also the process of making a gummy itself with the heating, trying to make that, it can affect the vitamin and mineral concentrations. So the ones you see on the side on the nutrition label might not have all of that, just because of the creation process of that and the heating of it. You can lose a lot of that one, right? So capsules are the better way to go. They have faster absorption rates that enhance bioavailability, which means they're designed to really make sure we uptake and get all those vitamins and minerals to the best ability over there. And the rate of nutrients just overall better, right? So that's why I should definitely recommend those capsules over there. And remember, I before I couldn't take the capsules at all. And one of my, I was in GNC at the time. I literally told my manager, I'm like, yeah, I know I can't take the pills. And he was like, I don't believe you, right? So I was like, okay. Maybe the technique is just like, you know, throw it back, swallow it back. And then, I mean, I could take them now itself, but at the time I couldn't. It's very funny. I'm like, okay, if I choke, smash pops, call 911 or something. And then I threw them back in my mouth, so try to do a technique over there. And then I started choking and coughing, and he panicked over there. That's pretty funny. So, but anyway, then he told me to chug more water, chug more water. And I eventually went back down. But yeah, he was kind of too hard because he didn't believe me that I couldn't absorb or take down my pills because I have a very small airway on my throat. That's why I was having sleep apnea or anatomy thing. It was pretty funny.
Thanks for tuning into the Lose the Gut podcast. If you got value from this one and really learned something and want to take it one further step forward so you can lose the gut and finally get your abs, just DM me on Instagram at KevinWoo_gut, and we can have a conversation, see if how to help you out. Cheers.